This week, we talk about Capcom being in a bit of hot water.
Yuji Naka is moving on from Square Enix.
And Microsoft talks about the future of Xbox game streaming.
Welcome to episode 23 of the Retro Gaming Dads podcast, the weekly podcast for everything retro and retro-inspired. I'm Phil, and tonight I'm joined by just Barry.
Hello.
Hello. We had a bit of a gaming evening last night, didn't we?
We did. We saw other real-life human beings.
Yeah, we enjoyed some retro gaming.
Enjoyed some retro gaming. We spent about 2 hours trying to get Virtua Cop and House of the Dead working. Got them working, played it for one stage, moaned because our arms were getting cramp off the light guns, and then played Phantom Crash for the rest of the evening.
Yay, middle age!
Oh, yeah. I was playing, especially on House of the Dead, where you've got to like shoot them to pieces. I was like, why am I in so much pain?
Well, we are missing Anthony. I'm going to say it's because he just couldn't hack the late night.
Oh, late nights. I had to kick him out in the first thing in the morning. It was actually getting light by the time he left.
Doesn't surprise me.
No.
Does not surprise me.
Kerry seemed very happy when we dragged that CRT in, though, didn't she?
Yeah, she really did not look impressed. Is it still there?
It's in the garage at the moment.
Oh, right. Okay. So she's a bit happier now.
She's a bit happier that it's been moved. I needed to get Anthony to give me a hand before he went. It's quite hefty.
Yo, they are. You don't remember quite how hefty they are. I mean, I moved a lot of them in my time. They're not light.
Yeah. I've disposed of corpses that weighed less than that.
It's true. And that was only a small TV.
Well, yeah, well, it was mid-size, weren't it? 26, 28, something around that. Well, other than our little retro get-together, have you been playing any games over the last week?
Been playing a bit of New Genesis since it's just come out. Been enjoying that one.
Well, I've been playing it when the lag hasn't been too bad.
Yeah, it's an MMO. It's going to have a rocky start. They always do.
It's not just MMOs. I think it's any online game, really, isn't
well,
it?
Very true, yeah.
How many of them launch Diablo 3, SimCity? God, SimCity was awful. That took about a week before you could even log in.
You just need to say every EA game, Battlefront, Battlefield, Anthem.
Well, should we get on to the news? Because I'm sure we're going to have plenty of news next week with Microsoft events, E3. Yep. Hopefully, we might be looking at some more Halo.
Let's hope, eh?
Well, let's jump in. So, yep. First of all, Capcom's not really having a good time at the moment, are they?
No, they've not been having a lot of joy recently, have they?
So, recently, they've had two bits of bad news, it seems. First of all, it seems that Ultra Street Fighter 2, the final challenger, has been pulled from the Nintendo Switch eShop in North America.
Bit of an oddity, this one, isn't it? Because, I mean, it's just that one version of Street Fighter 2, and just from that storefront.
Yeah, no one knows. Well, I assume someone at Capcom knows, but they've not announced why it's been removed. There doesn't seem any reason for it.
It's not like it's got a lot of licensing in there either, is it?
No, I would imagine as well, if it was a licensing issue, then surely it would have been pulled down from the European and the Japanese storefronts.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they use other people's images without telling them or anything like that.
Well, no, that's the other bit of bad news that they've had recently. A little lawsuit to the tune of $12 million. That's a lot of money. That
really is
a lot of money.
8.5 million to anybody who actually uses real money.
Yeah, 8.5 million pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this stems from using images in Resident Evil 4 and Devil May Cry, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was those two. And I've looked at some of the images side by side, and you can't mistake it. These have been deliberate. Well, maybe not deliberate, but...
They're definitely the images.
Yeah, oh yeah, without a doubt.
There's no dispute about that, which the designer, Judy Jurak, has actually made abundantly clear with her 120-page breakdown of at least 80 images that Capcom have used, showing the source image, what Capcom used them in, and what parts of them were used. Now, some of them are quite blatant.
Yeah.
They're being used for textures on items or textures on environments. Some of them you possibly could miss, like the Resident Evil 4 logo has one of her textures in the background. I think it's some broken glass.
Yeah.
But when she overlays her image of the broken glass on top of the Resident Evil 4 logo, again, you can't argue, oh, well, it looks a bit similar. It's exactly the same. The splintering of the glass is perfect match.
Yeah, it could be that these images were there and they've used them accidentally, but
I would imagine that's what it's been. Yeah, well, these images were supplied with a book that she released in 1996 called Surfaces, which I believe came with a CD-ROM with these images on it. So I think at some point these have made the way onto Capcom's database of textures, perhaps. And yeah. Someone's just come along and gone, that's a good texture, that'll fit our game, we'll use that, and not realise that these are unlicensed images.
Yeah, possibly. But she's a good chance of getting the money, I reckon.
Absolutely. In all fairness, she's got Capcom.
Over a barrel.
Yeah, over a barrel. This isn't just two little Capcom games that no one really plays anymore, or Capcom games that Capcom have just sent out to die, like every single Mega Man. This is two of the big hitters. Resident Evil 4, which is often called the best Resident Evil game. And yeah. Devil May Cry, which itself is quite a popular franchise.
Yeah, I mean, they're not long since had HD remasters either.
Yeah. And I would imagine they want to continue selling these games.
Yeah.
They're going to either have to extensively rework these games to have them continue to be available, or give in to these demands.
Yeah.
Maybe not pay what she's asking, but pay a substantial amount because they have used these images without licensing them. So they are the ones in the wrong. But then if they want to carry on selling Resident Evil 4 and Devil May Cry, negotiate a license with her for future sales as well.
Yeah, there's going to have to be something in place for that one.
Yeah.
But from that interesting news, we're moving on to some sad news.
Sad, but to be honest, unexpected.
Unexpected.
Yeah. So Yuji Naka is leaving Square Enix.
Yeah. Now, obviously, he is well known for the iconic games like Sonic the Hedgehog and Knights.
Yes.
But he's not really been in the news of late much that I can think of.
Well, he stepped away from Sega. I think it was early 2000s.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a while ago when he did that.
Yeah. And his latest game, Balan Wonderworld, massively underperformed.
I genuinely had not heard of it until seeing this news.
Oh, I heard of it. I was quite excited when it got announced because it looks very whimsical. So it's the same sort of aesthetics of Knights. In fact, you could probably put the characters from one series into the other and they wouldn't look out of place.
So what was the problem with it then?
It's a bad game. It's a really bad game.
No pulling any punches there then?
No. I'm being nice about it.
Wow.
Search for reviews online and you'll see that I am being very, very nice to it. To give you an idea of the game, you get different costumes which give you different powers. That sounds fine. You then take those costumes into other stages, which allow you to access areas that perhaps you couldn't access earlier on.
Yeah, kind of like a Metroidvania type.
Kind of, but it's still distinct stages. However, you have to farm these costumes. They're one use, you get hit, you lose that costume.
Oh.
So if you say there's a costume that you want, you might do the level to get the costume. But then if you want to get it again, you've got to do that level again, but make sure you don't take that costume in with you. So you need to complete the level once for every one of these costumes.
Yeah, that sounds like terrible design.
If you get the costume, then get hit, you then lose that costume as well and have to restart the level again. Oof.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
There's plenty of costumes in the game, but many of them are, at best, just duplicates of each other. At worst, absolutely useless. There's a costume, I think it's called Foxy Boxy, which turns you into a fox that randomly, without any input from you, turns into a box. Now, this could be as you're doing a platforming section, you just turn into a box and fall to your death. Or you could be traversing narrow walkway or jumping from island to island, and you turn into a box. But don't worry, you keep some of your momentum from the direction you were traveling. So you'll turn into a box and keep sliding forward towards your inevitable doom with no way of controlling when you then turn back from the box into a fox.
That just sounds like terrible design.
It is.
Wow. It makes you wonder just how much of the likes of Sonic was Yuji Naka and how much of it was the amazing team that he was with.
I think a lot of it was, well, both. Yuji Naka was instrumental to actually getting Sonic the Hedgehog to play as well as it did. Even going to some of the more recent remasters, Yuji Naka actually gave help to the developers of the Sonic the Hedgehog 1 remaster, the mobile port, to implement the spin dash into it correctly.
Right.
Even though he wasn't working at Sega at that point as well. So he obviously does have a passion not only for Sonic, but for gaming in general. And I do hope he does come back and he has a better game. If he does decide to retire from gaming, I would love it to be on a high note. Not on this game, though.
Yeah. It sounds like just some bad ideas that have been thrown into a game that nobody's turned around and said, no, that's stupid. What are you on about?
Maybe it is. It's a bit like John Romero. It's clear that what he did in games such as Doom really did help the games industry. Have people like these got a little bit too big? And maybe people are scared to say to them, do you know what? That's a really bad idea to turn your character into a box and give them no control over them in a platform game. It's almost as bad as the other idea you have in the same game, where in your platforming game, not all costumes can jump.
Yeah, that what?
Exactly.
Yeah, you've got a feel for his junior devs that are under him. It's like, I've got these brilliant ideas, and none of them can turn around to the legendary Yuji Naka and say, what are you on about? You're an idiot.
Possibly. That's the only reason I can think why some of these ideas got into the game. I'd love to see some of the ideas that didn't get into the game because they deem them too stupid.
Yeah, that would be a sight to behold, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I do hope he comes back. And does redeem himself.
Yeah, we can hope.
Yes.
So, 1UP bringing up a new arcade as well.
Yeah, so not just any arcade, the Simpsons arcade game, the first time it is actually officially come home, ever.
As in, coming home to the home.
What do you mean to your home? Of course I mean to your home.
Well, it's like one of those weird turns of phrase. But anyway, yeah. So, Simpsons Arcade, that's one we've played actually relatively recently before the world went to pot.
Yeah, so it would have been about 2 years ago. We went to a little arcade in Warrington and they had the 4-player version set up there, didn't they? So
yeah, it was the first time Anthony had actually played it as well, wasn't it?
It's probably the first time he's ever played an arcade, to be honest.
He's going to be listening to us and going, you too.
But unfortunately, the 1UP arcade is only 2 players. It's not the 4-player version. And it is only like 3/4 arcade size.
So is this an official release or is this just a leak? Or
a bit of both. It was an official leak. People first heard about it when 1UP sent out a internal video of the title announcing it coming out. And then that's been leaked.
Right.
So it's an official internal memo with an official video made by 1UP, but it was designed for internal use, not external. So someone leaked it and obviously jumped the gun a little bit.
Right.
But these little 1UP arcade machines, I've seen a couple of them. They're pretty cool. I don't know if I could say that I'd buy an arcade machine, though, just for a single game. Now, it does have, I think it's Simpsons Bowling on it as well, so it isn't just the one game, but they're all Simpsons games.
Yeah, as well, you've got to have a fair amount of space to be able to store these things as well. I mean, they may be smaller than the original cabinet, but they're still fairly sizable.
Did a good trade-off between being big enough to be usable, but small enough not to take up too much room in a house. Like, you could definitely fit one of these in, like, a child's bedroom and not have to worry. The footprint's pretty small.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you couldn't make an entire arcade in your living room.
But no, if you had a spare bedroom, you could easily get quite a few of these in there. They're not that big.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So we expect an E3 release.
If they haven't already officially announced it by the time this podcast goes out, then yeah, I would imagine this is going to be being saved for E3, which is this week. The next piece of news is AMD have announced that Fidelity FX Super Resolution will be coming to the Xbox Series consoles and the PlayStation 5.
Whoa!
Well, you seem absolutely enthralled by this. So,
I mean, it'll make things look nicer. It's probably going to increase frame rates and the like.
For those who don't know what it is it'll take an image, say a 1080p image that you'll often get on something like an Xbox Series S, and it'll actually upscale it to 4K with a very minimal performance hit on the actual console. But alternatively, if you don't actually want that extra resolution, say your game is hitting 4K, but not quite hitting that 4K 60 mark that you want to go for, you can actually use this to, say, scale it back a little bit in resolution to, say, 1800p.
Yeah.
Upscale that to 4K, but then use that extra bit of performance to hit that lock 60 frames per second.
See, I reckon this, in conjunction with dynamic resolution, could make some very nice-looking games that also perform very, very well.
Well, that's the idea behind it. You go to get, say, 90% of the benefit of that higher resolution, but for a significantly smaller performance hit.
Yeah, it would be an exciting one to see. I've got to admit, though, calling it Fidelity FX Super Resolution, it makes it sound like it's some sort of racing game.
Yeah, I'd buy that game. Sounds pretty cool.
It'd have to be some sort of Wipeout-esque, futuristic, techno beat driven.
Nintendo should just bring it to the Switch as the next F-Zero. We haven't seen one of them since the GameCube, I think.
And it's got the right sort of name for it as well. F-Zero, yeah. Fidelity FX Super Resolution.
Mm-hmm.
We could work at Nintendo's name division.
Well, yeah. And let's face it, whoever comes up with some of Nintendo's names deserves to be fired anyway.
What, Ultra Street Fighter 2, the final challenger?
Oh, no, that's Capcom, that. No, I'm on about... Oh, well, we're bringing out a new version of the 3DS. It's more powerful than the previous one. What should we call it? I don't know. The new 3DS? Fantastic idea. We love you, the intern in the corner. Well, we're also bringing out a replacement to the Wii. It's going to be next generation. What should we call it? I don't know. Wii 2? Wii U? I love it. We'll go with that. No, I said Wii 2. Yeah, Wii U. You're hired.
Which nobody bought because it was terribly named.
Well, yeah. Honestly, I remember when it came out and I was working at a retailer who sold video games, and people were asking about it, saying, oh, how much is it? And you're going, oh, it's £299, or I can't quite remember the price at the time. And they were like, what, for just a controller for the Wii? And you're like, no, it's a new console. It's not a controller. Like, all right, well, does it work with all the Wiis? No, it's, you don't need a Wii. It's a different console.
Do you see, obviously we're going off topic from the podcast here.
Oh, we never do that.
It says a lot about the Wii itself. I think the Wii hit a market where you had people that weren't gamers buying it.
Yeah, you had this very specific demographic that covered almost everyone on the planet.
Yeah.
It is people who want to play Wii bowling, but nothing else. So they'll buy a Wii, get the packing game Wii Sports, and never, ever buy another game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Honestly, I think my mum's got a Wii. My dad's got a Wii. I know at least 6 or 7 people over the age of about mid-50s who have a Wii, Yes, I don't think any of them have any games beyond either Wii Sports or Wii Sports and Wii Fit.
I think Wii Fit did pretty well. Just purely because of the... Well, no, no, but the board kept going,
ow, every time I stood on it. Yeah, that really helped with my self-confidence. Thanks for that.
I would dread to think what would happen if I stood on one. So moving back onto topic, we are possibly getting a Xbox game streaming dongle or streaming stick for TVs and well as TV apps.
Well, it's no secret that Microsoft want to bring Xbox game streaming, or as everyone still calls it, xCloud, to as many devices.
Yeah. Come on, Nintendo Switch.
Please. Yeah, we're just waiting for the Switch, aren't we? Nintendo, bring out a 5G-enabled Nintendo Switch and allow game streaming on it.
Absolutely. Can I just say one thing, though? Phil Spencer has finally fulfilled Don Matrick's dream.
What? No, he's brought the Xbox to TV, not the TV to Xbox.
Oh, no, yeah. Damn it. Yeah, he's done it the wrong way around.
TV, TV, TV.
E3, though, might actually be talking about Xbox TV.
Yeah. So
Call of Duty.
I would imagine that this will probably be on, like, say, Samsung and LG TVs as maybe a pre-installed app. And this won't be the first time. I'm fairly certain that Sony have done this with PlayStation Now in the past.
Yeah, well, I was playing PlayStation Now not too long ago, mainly to play Bloodborne. And the idea behind it works. I mean, I've streamed my Xbox a couple of times as well on my phone.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to have it built into a TV. I mean, I have tried to sideload it onto my Fire Stick, and it doesn't quite work, sadly.
I was going to say, I've got a Fire TV, so not a stick, it's built into a TV. And I did actually sideload it, and it loaded, but I just don't think my TV was up to the task of
handling it properly. It really work, does it?
No, it was quite laggy.
Yeah, which is a shame, because it would be awesome to have it on something like a Fire Stick.
Well, imagine that, you know, say when Elliot's a little bit older and he wants to play Minecraft. Well, if I can go out and buy maybe like a £30 to £50 streaming stick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stick it into his TV.
That's
away.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Victor got my hand-me-down Xbox, didn't he? So that was put in his bedroom. But yeah, it's an interesting one.
I think this is a good way to expand the Xbox brand.
Yeah.
Get a lot more people subscribing as well. My brother, he used to absolutely hammer Battlefield. Like, I mean, it was ridiculous. I didn't even realize there was that many hours in a day for him to play Battlefield as much as he did. He got rid of his Xbox a few years ago. And spoke to him a couple of days ago, and he's like, have you seen the new Battlefield? And I'm like, oh no, not this again. So he's talking about maybe getting an Xbox.
Does this mean you might actually play this Battlefield?
No. There's only so much abuse I can take from my brother moaning at me for not resing him when he dies.
Don't play medic.
Well, yeah, that's a fair point. But perhaps, instead of buying a whole console, you could buy a streaming stick.
Yeah.
And Xbox game streaming, maybe if they could pull some of the EA titles into the game streaming service.
Well, who knows? I mean, we've already got all of the EA Origin stuff in Game Pass.
Yeah, that's on Game Pass, so you can't stream them at the moment, as far as I'm aware.
No, not that I'm aware now.
Other great news as well, Microsoft have actually said that game streaming will come to iOS and iPadOS in the next couple of weeks.
Finally.
Through its web app. But it will also be available for Chrome, Edge, and Safari on the desktop.
That'll be good. We'll actually be able to stream the brand new Xboxes on our Windows PCs.
They didn't say anything about that.
We can hope. We can hope, okay?
Listen, the new Xboxes are just so powerful that you can't possibly stream all of that.
It would be nice just to be able to, you know,
try
get a Windows app that works with the Xbox to stream your Microsoft Xbox from Microsoft Windows.
You're just living in dreamland there, Phil. Then again, after the Xbox One came out, I'm sure it was best part of about a year or so until the Xbox app allowed you to stream the original Xbox One.
Yeah, but you also couldn't stream it from an anything. Android device. Exactly.
That's a fair point.
So it's a strange one, the fact that they've not got it on Windows first. But then again, you've got Game Pass on Windows. So perhaps they're trying to drive more of that. Who knows?
Maybe they've an agreement with hardware vendors. So trying to get more games on Xbox to get more people to go out and buy graphics cards that all the crypto miners keep buying up.
And the scalpers.
Well, I think that's all the news that we've got for today. So we'll have to go get early nights ready for E3 starting next week. And the Microsoft event, which is tomorrow, Sunday.
Very nice. Very nice.
Or if you're listening to this podcast on Monday, it was yesterday.
Either way, we'll have our breakdowns for what we've seen next week.
Well, that's it for this episode. If you'd like to see more information on anything mentioned during this podcast, you can visit us at retrogamingdads.co.uk. You can also support the podcast and get ad-free episodes at patreon.com/retrogamingdads. We've been the Retro Gaming Dads, and we'll see you next week.